All right, gang, welcome back to the Win Rate 0% podcast. I am Cobb and I am on the Scots TCG channel. Today we're going to be doing a little bit of a BT10 roundup. We're going to be talking about the metagame, both pre and post the ban list. It's been a very turbulent format for us all. We're going to be doing a bit of a deep dive into Bandai's discussion making on the ban lists that we've had so far. And there's been some interesting results from the EX3 Early Days tournament. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the format so far. And then we're going to be talking about the question of today, which is, what is your most slept on deck of the EX3 format? What do you think is going to be great someday that nobody is really talking about right now? So I'm Cobb. I'm also joined here by Adam.
Hello.
Good to be here, Adam. Good to be here. Indeed. And Jason.
What are we saying? Hello, everyone. I'm back, BB.
Let's go. We are ready to go. So, all quite hyped here, guys. About EX3 has been on the go. How have you been enjoying it?
Loving it, mate.
It's been really fun.
Playing Bloom Lordmon. Bloom Lordmon's doing Bloom Lordmon with Hydramon. It's doing good things. I'm winning. I won a locals with it. I'm really enjoying the deck. It's so much fun.
Yeah. It's been a really fun format so far, and it's been quite diverse, I would say. I know we're in the early days, but it looks like it's going to be a very, very wide format with a lot of options to play. Jason, how have you been enjoying it so far, mate?
It's been fun putting Hexablow back on the board again.
Oh yes.
I like to abuse my stacks.
Yeah.
And it's be Merimon with a bunch of the new
holy the new crap support
into a Hexablow is
that's nuts, man. Like, I guess if you don't know, a lot of the new Hexablow support is focused on preventing your opponent's Digivolutions by increasing the cost if they've got zero sources. So if you get a freaking stack with like 3+ of those inherited, it's like going to be past turn territory if they have all ones.
Exactly. That is the plan, good sir.
That is nuts, man. A friend of mine as well, who's actually been out of the game for quite a long time, he's not played since bloody BT6 format where he was playing Rookie Rush, and he played Hexablow as well. I told him there was new support coming out, and even though it's like not predicted to be very high tier, he's like, oh, I might start coming to locals again playing Hexablow.
It's tier 1, what do you mean?
Honestly, mate, I believe it, and I'd love to see you do well with it, man. I'm always a fan of rogue decks trying to make it big.
Oh, definitely, man. It's the way to go.
I've been on the old D Brigade hype train once again. I've not played a whole lot at EX3, but it's honestly, I said in the last episode, I wasn't sure how much power the new D Brigade stuff was going to hold. But see when you get the combos off, see when you develop the turn 2-3 lethal. It's absolutely nuts, man. There's so much value for it. It's been definitely good. I'm really excited to see what the rest of the format brings. No doubt when January comes and we're waiting on BT11 in February, we're all going to be bored out our face with it.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah, we get a solid month of dopamine, and then that's it. We're done with the format.
Absolutely. But to say, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens anyway. Like I say, there's a lot of new decks or old favourites cropping up as well. So there's definitely going to be a lot going on in this format, that is for sure. Going to be talking a wee bit more about EX3 a little bit down the line here today. But just now, we're going to go into a bit of discussion on the format we have just concluded there, BT10. It's been a really interesting one, obviously. Everybody knew cross-shart, whatever you want to call it, was going to be the tier 1, some people even call it tier 0 deck. But we got a very surprise, pretty early doors ban list that has completely shafted the deck. It's still in a competitive spot, but it is nowhere near the tier 1 menace that everybody's had to play for.
I would disagree. I still think it's tier 1. I think it was in a stage before ban list. It was in a stage. I called it 0.5, to be honest.
That's a good terminology.
Because it wasn't quite that oppressive to make it tier 0. But at the time, before the ban list, it was 100% 0.5. Now, I still think it's a tier 1 contender. I was messing about with the deck as well, with the ban list and all that stuff with it. And I gave the list to one of the guys last week who went to locals because I couldn't make it. And he ended up winning 2-0 every single game.
Oof, nice one.
So the deck, and he was telling me, obviously with X4 being at 1, he still personally thought... he never actually used it. I think he used it once out of all the games. It's X5 that's been winning him the games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's still... That card's just nuts once you get into it, you know?
It's absolutely insane. I mean, people be like, no, I can't draw 3 cards for free for 1 memory and swing for 1 or 2 checks and then do it all again and draw another 3 cards. But, I mean, what other deck can slam down a level 5 with a bunch of ridiculous inheritables, rush, reboot, blocker, and swing for 2 checks and a turn. You know, it's just that's a ridiculous play. It still does unfair stuff. It's just not an absolute joke like it was before.
Yeah, not 100%. It's more fair now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm really happy with how it's turned out, honestly.
See, I'm on the opposite side of the fence with this, in that I fully acknowledge it as a meta deck, and I think it's a good deck, but I also think it's crap at the same time. There's no other way to put it. I think it's so easily counterable that if you have like a shred of meta knowledge, you know how and know how to play around a rush deck, then it just dies every single time. I have never once lost a game to Crossheart. Now, granted, I've been playing Gaiomon a lot, which is designed to counter Crossheart, but even in the other decks that I've been playing and messing around with, like, I've never had an issue with Crossheart destroying me. I know it won the DC one, or it won an online event recently. I'm pretty sure it won the event I was judging at, actually. But I think it's done really well, especially with the ban list coming out, and it seems to continue to be adapting. Obviously, it's getting more support in BT12, and it looks to be creeping back into the sort of the predicted meta again.
Yeah, does it not still get like support in BT11 as well?
Yeah, so it's getting cross 7 and it's getting cross 7 perfect or whatever it's called.
Superior mode. He crosses with everything
ever. Plus you've got the white tamer as well for it, which is
actual
kind of... Yeah, so I mean this is another reason why the ban has been kinda healthy, because the deck actually gets a lot of good and powerful but more balanced pieces than Cross 4. But when you look at some of the Japanese lists that were coming out for that, they weren't even running this stuff because they're like, why would we? We just run 4 Cross 4 and then they run some of the support pieces. But now it actually opens a lot more avenues for the deck building. And then I don't know if you guys know, but in Japan, people were legit quitting the game over this. And Bandai were terrified that in BT10, it was going to ruin the game in the English format, because we do not typically like the Cross Wars franchise very much. It pretty much put Digimon on like a 5+ year death sentence in the West.
Yeah, it really did.
They were really scared that it was going to sell terribly. Yep. And because of the ban list, it's meant that, you know, a lot of other decks can see competitive viability.
Yeah.
Like Jason's saying, man, the deck's still good. Anum doesn't think it's that good, but it's not had very many.
I think it's a competitively strong deck, but I've never had an issue playing against it, so I don't think. Yeah. Like, obviously, it's one event, so I'm not trying to just be a contrarian for no reason here.
I thought you just mean post-ban, mate. I thought you were talking about, like, post-ban, the deck is ass.
No, I meant pre-ban, but when it had 4 cross 4s and 4 sunrises, I'd never had an issue with it, to the point where I was like, maybe I was playing against people that weren't piloting it fully or whatever like that, but I'm not here to sit and slag off my opponents, but I'd never have had a problem, to the point where I was like, how has this been top meta in Japan for forever, basically?
I think the best way to describe the deck is it's there, it's in the meta. Respect it. Can I think respect that it's there, but don't go out your way to just play a test against that, thinking that's all you're going to play. Because as you've been seeing right now, Melga X, in my opinion, is the best deck of this format.
A doubt, especially post ban list. I mean, if we look at some of the statistics here, we're seeing that Shout out to GMXPO on Reddit. Give this person a follow for the fantastic Digimon statistics. But they've done a meta breakdown of the pre and post ban lists with tiers solely based on their tournament tops by percentage. So in the pre ban list world, we have Cross Hearts at tier one with a 15% win rate. So undoubtedly one of the best decks of the format.
Yep.
The other one we've got is Alphamon, which has had a ridiculous amount of tournament play in the early BT10 set. It was actually performing better over here than it did in the Japanese meta, where it was maybe third, fourth, fifth best deck. Over here, it's actually had the most tops of the format pre-ban list.
Which makes sense. It is a very powerful deck. It has blocker inherited with its level fours, so it stops Crossheart, it stops Metal Guru, it stops pretty much everything because of its prevention and deletion, prevention based deletion effects. Obviously Doro Greymon getting hit to one killed a bunch of its, you know, security sort of power, which is why it sort of faded away. But before that happened, it's definitely been competitive. I think in the Scottish scene, we've not really seen it being piloted by for a long time by one person. Everyone sort of went, yeah, the deck's fun, but God, is it boring, because you just either win or you lose. There's no strategy. You build up your guy and then it either kills them or they die to like an ultimate flare or something like that.
That's the thing, man. Like, a lot of people, we've just left the OTK format, so they say. We're probably still in an OTK format now, but we've supposedly left this format, and a lot of people I know have been dropping their OTK decks solely on the fact that when you win, it feels like you're winning for free. When you lose, it feels like you lose and there's nothing you can do about it, because you're just missing your pieces. You don't find your pieces in time. You walk into a security bomb that just completely shuts your deck down. I mean, people know me for playing Pulsemon at the start of the meta and doing okay with that, but I just found it so boring when you draw through half your deck and you've not found one of your level sixes yet. It's like, it's such a feels bad. It's not even like
a very combo-y deck that just requires every to see every single piece. Even into BT9, I respect it being in the meta, but I was never scared to play against it for the simple fact 9 times out of 10 I've played against it, they've bricked.
Yeah,
or they've not seen that one piece, and because they've not seen that one piece,
it's like I played a game against you, Jason, in a store championships where you were playing Grandis, and it was pretty much my finals for that store championship because of the other matchups.
Yeah,
but literally, I don't think you could do a single thing because you spent the whole game. I was playing D Brigade, so I was putting the pressure on. And then the second you got your combo off, you'd walk into a Chikurimon, an Ultimate Flare, an Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And there is literally nothing you can do. And people say, just take in the delicate plan package. But I feel like it really drops your win rates against a lot of other matchups. And also, if you take it into the matchups where it is a win condition, you still have to see one of your two heroes and one of your two delicate plans, if that's the ratio you're winning. You might not even see it.
So, like, for BT9, I 100% disagreed with people playing, setting up the red package for the simple fact it was an OTK format. 9 times out of 10, you taking that extra turn to set up that, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
But for coming into the BT10, I've not tried it. I have seen a lot of people playing it, I know one of the Melga decks that won was playing the 1-1 split. Yeah. I don't like just playing one-offs in a deck. For the simple fact, it's not. If I'm playing it, I want to see it consistently. Melga does draw through its deck very, very quickly, so I can agree to a point of being one. Again, obviously, I can't really say anything. I mean, the deck won, but like, I don't agree too much with the red package. I do believe it's probably the correct way to play it. I just personally I'm not a big fan of it.
I like the red package in Grandis for me, but I wasn't playing it with heroes. I was still playing Mimis and Davises, and I was playing two of the red ties from the original starter deck. It's a two cost teamer. Like, I saw a lot of success with it, but I got very bored of OTK quickly because, again, I like my games to have a bit more interaction than I win or I lose in one turn, basically. Yeah. I think, like you said as well, with security bombs, obviously, when we talk about meta, it's a consistently evolving sort of thing that I think we can do an episode purely on meta talk alone at some point, but just briefly, it's not one specific thing. It is a consistently evolving process, collectively, almost subconsciously agreed upon by the best players in the scene. So you've got your high tier players, that top at events, regionals, World Championships, and they set early game metas and things like that. But then you've also got like your local metas, your community metas. So we've got a meta in the sort of the Scottish community as well. And I think what happened with us is that almost pretty much everyone went, oh, security bombs are a thing. Let's stop playing OTK decks, because everyone went, okay, let's put bombs in to stop. And when we talk about bombs, we mean deletion effects like Gaia Forces and things like that.
Absolutely, ultimate flares. I've heard people calling like Chikurimon, the black security Digimon that de-digivolves you by one when you proc it, a bomb. I'm like, mate, this is not a bomb. This is like a stick of dynamite.
It's an annoying little rat of a mine Digimon, but it's not a bomb. But yeah, like, it's this consistently evolving process, and everyone went, right, let's put more bombs to counter the OTK, and all the OTK went, okay, cool, let's stop doing that. So the minute that bombs stop becoming prevalent again, OTKs are going to creep up again, and then they're going to get shoved right back down again, and it's this constant sort of ebb and flow. Because right at the moment, rush decks are popular, as well as, like, swarming the board with things, but Crimson Blaze is a thing, you know, Ultimate Flare is a thing. As soon as those start becoming properly prevalent, because let's face it, unless you're playing like a Commandramon list or something, you don't have a lot of space in your deck for too many bombs. Normally, 2 to 3 at most, if you've got space. So by putting like a Crimson Blaze in, you're taking out your big bomb, your big Gaia Force. Although nobody plays that, but like your other sort of things.
There was actually a Gallantmon list that came 8th in one of the American big tournaments at the weekend, and it was running two of them. Also, big upset at the weekend in the EX3 results. Wargrate X topped an event for the first time since the deck's release, and it was running Gaia Forces as well.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to see the card coming back. And I mean, talking about like the difference in the metas we've had, the formats have completely shifted. Like at the start of the format, because Crosshearts was so fast and so powerful, some of these other decks had a chance to shine simply because they had a good Crosshearts matchup. Like, I don't think OTK decks do all that well into Crosshearts, with the exception of Melga, because it can bounce the pieces back to hand, and Alphamon, because it can play through the Crosshearts turns really well, and it can run like combos to disrupt and things like that. I don't really know personally how well Grandis, which was the other big bad OTK deck, does in the Crosshearts matchup, but like looking at the tier 2 standings before the ban, this is decks with a 6 to 15% win rate in a top down order. We've got Metal Garurumon X was the third best deck of the format, the first best tier 2 deck. Then we've got Grandis, Nuts, Magnamon X.
Wow.
Gaiomon and Bielstarmon actually sitting at the bottom of tier 2 with something akin to a 6% win rate or a 6% topping rate, which is surprising, to be honest, because I've been firmly in the camp that Bielstar is fat copium.
I don't think Bielstar is very good anymore.
I still like Bielstar. It's sort of the only control deck that I've enjoyed playing, but God, it's not had any support in a while. It's not getting any more support. If you take a look at how Bandai are printing cards, they are deliberately avoiding printing 7 cost options. Because every time they do, it fuels Beelstar, and they can only give that deck so much power. But I don't like the deck, but I don't think it does. Basically what it is that it's security control light, and as much as I hate security control and will forever shit on it, it is just a much better control deck than Matt than Beelstar ever could be.
Purity Control is always going to be the best control deck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Easily. Because of the simple fact it just doesn't care about colours, costs, whatever. They just fucking chuck everything in and go,
yeah,
there's my deck. You're not getting past that and I just need to chip you away.
Yeah.
Because
meanwhile, Beelstar really has to be like, oh, I've got to fuel the trash, got to play things, got to get things back. Yep. And you're like, what's going on, man? Security Control, and I'm not going to go on a big rant about this, but I hate Security Control because I think it abuses, the good spirit of the game. And it plays into how the game is intended to be played. But it is a deck. It is obviously a deck, and I'm not going to like sit here and, like, if you've got the fucking cojones to play Security Control for 9 rounds in a tournament, fair play to you, because I played it once and hated it. So, like, best wishes to you. Merry Christmas.
Like, it's literally, like, certain people in the game, and again, I'm not trying to shit on people, this is just simple facts here. I am one of these people, but I'm not one of these people in Digimon where I actually gain a great amount of joy from denying joy to my opponent by preventing them from doing anything. I mean, Jason, he's a filthy blue hybrid player, and he's now a filthy blue hexablow player as well. He loves to stop people doing things.
I look my opponent dead in the eye, and I see them tear, and it just makes me hard. You know,
shut up, man. Jesus Christ. sitting with your playmat peeking up from the bloody table.
I can't wait for the people that listen to this in fucking Australia to be going, what the fuck is he talking about?
Nah, man, I'll stick up for Sitcon for a wee second. I've played the deck. I mean, yeah, of course I would. I'm a dick, but a lot of players, just when it comes to Setcon, it is you have to think very hard on when to use certain options.
You absolutely do not. It is just play card, pass turn.
You 100% do.
So Setcon is a deck where you've got multiple options that you can do every turn, and there's so many differentiating lines, right? Metal Garurumon is a deck where you see your pieces, you go. You don't see your pieces, you don't go. Setcon, you've got multiple options a turn. You can decide whether you'd rather let them into the security this turn because you don't think you're going to die, or you can like play safer or more aggressive by deleting things, giving more memory. There's multiple paths. It's the same with D-Brigade. Like, people would just be like, oh, D-Brigade, just attack opponent. But you have to decide when to use certain cards.
I think D-Brigade takes skill. I don't think Security Control takes skill. It's literally, do they have a guy out? Kill it. Do they not have a guy out? Recover or play a tamer? No. That's literally
you
it.
Make a good point.
You genuinely do have to think a few turns ahead, because you could use this. Say you used an option, right, that you really don't need to use, but you feel like it's one of the only two options you have, right? And you go for that line, and then next turn they just build up that board again, and you have no way to get rid of it, right? There's a lot of wee kind of small things that you need to think about, etc. Like, from when I was playing it, I was having to think, like, no, if I'm going to use this option, what could they possibly do on their turn? Yeah. Can I then follow up and keep the control of the game from after the
of course you can, because you literally go, I'm going to play Chaos Degradation 4 turns in a row, followed by 4 Flame Hellscythe.
I mean, you're not
oh, Flame Hellscythe, and that kills a guy and brings out a Magna Angemon, and then I get to heal. Yeah. It's literally just kill whatever's on the board or heal.
Of course it does some ridiculous unfair things, right? And nothing is worse than when you feel like you've got lethal, and then the first check is Chaos Degrade, and you've lost the game. But there is definitely, and I'll say this as well, every single deck has an element of skill expression, and they're all completely different in how you express that skill. So a deck that, if you're not a player of it, or you've played it a couple of times, you're for the outside looking in, Set Control, D-Brigade, Imperial Drum 1 or something like that, you might just be looking at it like, oh, this is just Unga Bunga play thing. But when you actually play it, there's a lot more decision making that goes through the process, and that's what separates your gatekeepers and your local card game shops to the people that actually
Like, I'm being a bit facetious, but it does definitely take skill to play. But oh my god, like, see when I'm at big events and I'm judging and I'm walking about, see every time I see a security control player, they look miserable. Like, they're just having the worst time of their life. And, like, even when they're winning, they're miserable. But when they play against another, like, when it's a security control mirror match, they just... imagine spending an hour out of your day just feeling like fucking garbage. Yeah, and then it happens multiple times. They get paired up multiple times. That's horrible. Like, why would you want to feel like that?
It's not a fun deck to have in the meta, let's put it that way. And, I mean, until Bandai does something about how ridiculous a mechanic security is, if they ever do... Setcon's always going to have some element in the meta game. I don't think it didn't really do too much this set. If we look at the tier 3 results pre-ban list, we've got Blue Flare being the top tier 3 deck, Dark Nightmon, and then Setcon at the bottom. And that's a 2% to a 5% topping rate.
Which I think is crazy, because Blue Flare is a really good deck.
Blue Flare is very, very strong.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
Melga X is 100 times better.
Yeah.
The only reason Blue Flare is actually able to do anything is because a lot of them are now just taking in the Magnemon X and then just going Jessmon GX on top, and then that's kind of the way that they're going with the deck now.
Blue Flare has been gatekept this format a bit. The reason being that it has a really nice matchup in the Cross Hearts. It can do a lot of good things there, but see a lot of the tier 2 gatekeepers, as I'm calling them, the things that gatekeep it from being higher up the tier 2, tier 1 ranking. Things like your Metal Garurumon X, your Grandis, your Magnemon X decks, and your Gaiomons absolutely shaft it.
Yeah, but
because they can just sit and raise and then come and kill them in one turn. They can't get their stun effects off, and they can't get their double swing action off with the Metal Gray.
The issue I found playing, now, obviously, I love blue, I only ever played blue. When it came to Blue Flare, was if my opponent played a Tamer, any kind of like Tamer hate in their deck, once they killed my kind of thingy Tamer, Kyuriha? I can't remember his name. Once they killed that, I then had to then spend another turn or two trying to find it.
Yeah.
Which, in this kind of format, isn't ideal. Crossheart got away with it because they played so many Tamers.
Yeah.
Whereas Blue Flare, you tend only to have one or two, one being Soda Joe and the other one being Kiriha. And in the moment you pop your Kiriha, you're now behind your opponent by quite a bit.
Like when
they've established the board, and then you've got to reset, which is a very annoying part about the deck.
Yeah, when I was playing Gaiomon, I would target the Kirihas as soon as I could, and it just won me the game most of the time.
Yeah.
Apart from when I was playing in one of our local events, and I was like, what is this deck? I had never played against Blue Flare, and I didn't know what the cards did, and it demolished me.
Yeah.
I think it's a total skill check, Blue Flare, because if you don't know what the cards do, and you just play like a normal game of Digimon, you could very well lose.
Yeah.
Blue Flare is 100%, if your opponent doesn't know how to play against it, will 100% win.
But I mean, if we're looking at the post-ban list, it's in the tier 2 rating, it's strong, it's a strong third.
It did jump very high, but then at the same time, there's a lot of the decks dropped because of the ban list.
Yeah, it's been really interesting, man.
It's
a bit more. So if we go into the post-ban list here, we have one tier 1 deck it's totally been dominating the meta ever since the ban list has been introduced, and that being Metal Garurumon X has went from top of tier 2 to the only deck in tier 1. It's had a ridiculous play rate. It's topped almost every event. It's been slamming the top 16 since then.
Yep.
And overall, if you look at the final standings, this is including the post and pre-ban list, Melga is the third most popular, third highest win rate. In fact, it's got the most.
It's got the most. It should be first.
Because it has been so played that it has the highest amount of points overall. So it's seen the most play rate. But I think if you look at it, when you take representation and number of players, then it is the third most successful deck of the set, basically.
Yeah,
I'm looking at these numbers.
Big shout out for the pre-ban list though for Minerva Loot being garbage, and then for it not for then post-ban list for it to just drop off the rankings completely.
I
hate Minerva Loot. I have hated Lilith Loot. I think watching your opponent play a 10-minute turn, then you get while you get to do nothing, is so fucking toxic. I hate it, and I'm so glad that everyone has went, this deck sucks.
Yeah.
It's a bit sad, man, because loads of people thought the deck was going to be awesome. I mean, purple has been in a pretty bloody dire state for some time now.
Purple's always been good, especially with Mastermon and stuff like that. The problem with purple is that it decks itself out and it runs out of steam so quickly. So unless you play Minerva perfectly, then you're not winning. And also Minerva might have done well. I know we talk about the best of one format that Japan has. It might have done well in a best of one format, but it doesn't do well in best of three. The games take the full 30, 40 minutes, and then they go to game two, and if they've lost, that's it. They're done.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know a lot of people. I just know one of the people from our locals. He borrowed all my Mastermon stuff to try out, like, putting Minerva into Mastermon. And it was really consistent to a stage of I was actually thinking this is the correct way to play Mastermon now. But
it's an interesting card, man. Like, people are playing playing Minerva Loop, but they don't need to be playing Minerva Loop, because Minerva Mon on its own is just a powerful card, a powerful ender.
Well, because what you would do with Minerva is that you'd have Minerva and you'd have your Mastermon on the board. Minerva would call something out, Mastermon would proc and kill something. So what you would always do is you would bring something out and whatever they've just played, you kill it. So it became it got to a stage because neither were once per turn. It was just pop, 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 pop. Well, I'm going wide, you're not getting anything.
Yeah,
which
a pretty nasty floodgate.
Or Mastermon is nuts, man.
Yeah. Talking more about Mastermon, to be fair. I mean, I was more hinting at purple being a pretty weak colour. In the recent metas, like, I mean, it didn't really do anything in BT9, and in the pre-ban list, it's not got a single deck above tier 3, but in the final standings of the post-ban list world, we've actually seen a lot more Mastermon picking up. Like, I just played in the Ultimate Cup in Europe, and I played D-Brigade in that, because I was like, oh, hallelujah, we're basically playing BT9 again. D-Brigade is Pog. And then my second round was to a Mastermon, which might be probably the worst matchup D-Brigade has in the game, and I got absolutely pumped.
Yeah, it's a really popular, aggressive control deck, basically. It does a little bit of everything, and it does it really, really consistently. The only way that I've found of dealing with Mastermon consistently is kill the Gatomon regardless. As soon as they put that Gatomon out, kill it. Doesn't matter how much it costs you. Kill the Gatomon, and they have to redo it, or they have to force play out a level 5 or something if they give them enough if you give them enough memory. But without that Gatomon proccing the end of turn DNA digivolution or Jogressing, they're stuck, and that's how I've won my Mastermon matchups. Either that or it just pumps fuck out me.
For Mastermon, I was playing it in BT9, and then I've not played it too much in BT10. I really enjoy the deck, and I've always said Mastermon rewards good players. If you're a good player and you learn how to play Mastermon properly, your chances of winning increase dramatically, for the simple fact it is, as you said, it's so aggressive out of nowhere. It has this control element to it that it really shouldn't have, because
it's got a really high skill ceiling, I think.
It's a very high as you said, like there, Adam, like, see, if I was to hard play my Gatomon, personally, for me, is I would only hard play the Gatomon in a matchup if I was going against someone that was just going to be able to blow it up easily. The only time I would hard play it is to find pieces. If I had that, I would just build up in the raising area for the fact it's just the correct way to play the deck.
To me, hard dropping the Gatomon, that card totally carries the deck on its back. Gatomon's an insane card. Like, see, even hard playing it, I would argue hard playing it, and this is, take it with a pinch of salt, because this is a guy who's never played the deck in his life, he's just fought it a lot. But Gatomon hard play is a pretty nutty move, because, I mean, getting the double search off is nuts. And yeah. You also, the Digivolution cost is expensive, so it's 3 to go into, which is a bit more than you'd like to be playing. But it also, it's not that bad to do so. But front-loading the Digivolution cost is really powerful. It's similar with things like Deltamon.
Yeah.
Like being able to because of the way the memory system works, if you get set to the generic 3 at the start of your turn, you put them back to 2 or 3 by hard playing it, then the odds of them being able to play nice removal on it and not give you like 5+ memory are so low. And if you hard played it, you're also getting more resources. So even if they do remove it, it's still feeding into your linking
distance. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's easy to pick up because it's a starter deck. The deck doesn't do particularly well as a one-off, but even if you buy two and put them together, I think you'll find that it will perform consistently average, if that makes sense. You're going to win some, but you're going to lose some as well, but you're never going to go one way or the other too strong. But as soon as you start putting your good cards into it, like your BT1 Magnemons, your Lucemon Chaos Modes, your Lady Devimon draw 3, discard 2s, as soon as those go in, the deck starts to properly function. And as like we said, if you hard play that Gatomon, if that Gatomon sticks around, doesn't matter how much memory you've or little memory you've been given, if they've not got a Digivolution cost blocker out, you go into that Lady Devimon for what, a 1 cost, and then you can Jogress. You'll give your opponents a lot of memory, sure, but then you've got a Mastermon out of nowhere, and so good.
Yeah, what I like to do is actually just go for a Flame Hellscythe and just bring it straight back out.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing, man. Flame Hellscythe is one of the most disgusting cards I've printed in the game.
100%.
There's so many good targets for it as well. Like, even some people play the Maycrack version, where I cry my eyes out every time because they play a Maycrack, discard 1 card from hand, and then they pop 2 Commandermon at once and I sob. Or they've got the Magna Angemons, they can... Oh, yes, that seems very balanced. Let's destroy a 6K guy and play a level 5 out for 6 memory and recover 1. That seems very balanced to me.
You can bring out the starter deck Angewoman, because, and then it's it like just does -2 security attack on something, or is it 3?
There's a lot of different options they can play. Like, even that Maycrack, it's a meta-dependent card. But not every version, and I don't think most versions are running right now. But it's just another option that the deck has to stay meta relevant, and it's something that you have to be aware of.
It's getting more gas, literal next set, which
it gets more stuff.
I genuinely think it's going to be a tier one deck easily.
It's actually looking to be for sure a top 5 contender,
which is why I've picked up my Magna Angemons and Lucemons, getting ready for it, just in case.
Magna Angemon is a good time to buy it. It's actually at a very low point compared to where it's been for some time now.
Yeah.
Are they getting reprinted, though? Like, I'm pretty sure that...
Well, they're getting reprinted as gold-plated versions, pretty much, so like it's not going to drive the cost of it down too much, considering you have to pay £110 and you get one of them.
Less than that now, by the way, bud. It's like 8.
Really? Oh, have they dropped it?
Everybody.
The moment that reprint got announced, everyone started, because they would prefer having that, so everyone started selling them, and it got to a stage. I'm pretty sure it still is. It's like £80 now to get the playset.
Oh, that's alright.
Very good. It's like we say, it's a real good time to pick them up. Buy your Magna Angemons if you don't have them and you want to play yellow or purple.
But don't pick up a playset because you don't play 4, you just play 2 normally.
2 to 3. Yeah. I'd pick up 3.
Yeah, the safe side.
Yeah, fuck it. Pick up 4, why not? While we are at it.
Either that cheap right now, get the 4th.
Well, you're at it, just play Setcon at that point, like, you know.
But I like...
Aye, while you're at it, just play Setcon and make everybody cry, fair one.
But I like Flame Hellscythe. I genuinely think it is a balanced two-color option card. You get
cracked.
To minus something and play something out. I think that's balanced. It's chaos degradation that I hate. There is no effect in the game.
Christ.
There used to be no effect in the game that prevented chaos degradation, and now it's a random black card, and black decks suck.
Yeah, sorry. Blackward Graham on player spotted, talking about the bloody removal card being absolutely cracked because it goes around these on deletion effects.
Yeah, but not for long, because in BT11 I get Metal Graham on X antibody virus mode or whatever it's called, and that prevents my security being fucked with.
Yes, very.
And it
very,
also
very
stops
irritating.
De-digivolving, which is the first effect in the game to stop or prevent de-digivolution. Which is
it not just immune to option cards, period?
Immune to options and immune to de-digivolution effects and stuff like that. So
very nice.
So, like, another Metal Greymon, for example, couldn't de-digivolve it either. Super cool. Me love. I cannot wait to play that.
Very annoying. The last thing we've not mentioned about the pre-ban list for BT10 is your boy Dark Nightmon. Okay, so this deck was pretty slept on, right? But I was playing it for most of the set, sadly, because D-Brigade was unplayable and a meta where Crossheart was all over the place, right? So Dark Nightmon was basically, in my opinion, made to be the silver bullet to Crossheart. It's got Tamer deletion, it's got blockers that are too big for it to swing over with everything bar Cross 5, and it's got blockers that spit out blockers that pop your guys that get more juice for you. It's just an absolutely insane counter. You sit playing four Chikurimon and it's literally impossible for Crosshearts to do anything. I was farming Crosshearts players in the Ultimate Cup with it.
I think Dark Knight's super cool. I think it just lacks a little bit of aggressiveness. If they had given it at least one of the pieces on play blitz or rush, if they had given it to even one of them, I think the deck would be so much more competitive. But because most of the time you have to hard cast your guy and pass turn and then it dies and it's pointless, it just feels like it's missing a vital piece, I think.
It's got some really nice aggressive pieces, like a fantastic player. See, when you go the Skull Nightmon, you evolve it in Raisin or something like that, and then for one, you evolve into the Cavalier mode to give it jamming, and then you proc the Inherited that gives you another security attack, so you get a two-check jammer. It's not even a lot of work to get to, but it's just, if you don't see the Skull Knights or you don't see these Cavaliers early, you're really going to be lacking in aggression, and it is also the only Digicross deck that doesn't have a rusher, like Adam's saying, so it's a wee bit slower. To me, it feels like one of the premier control decks, because you just have this infinite value engine. If you play it properly, you're constantly searching, almost everything in the deck searches, you're spitting out blockers, it's impossible to rush past, and like I say, there's just a lot of value and Tamer hate in the deck as well, so it's really powerful. But Dark Nightmon was sitting in the middle of tier 3. It was very underplayed as well, so it might have done better if more people were picking it up, but it wasn't very hyped. And unfortunately, looking at if we now look at the post-nerf setup, Dark Nightmon has fallen off the face of the earth, people. It's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
Nobody really wants to play it at the moment, unfortunately. No. It's like, I enjoyed playing it. I played it with Omnimon Swart in the high end to then shit out two more Dark Nightmons for the blocking.
I did want to do that as well. That is the dream.
So fun, by the way.
it's nuts, man. Like, just like you say, man, being able to spit out two of the own play ones that equip guys from the trash to it, it's pretty nutty.
Bring them back, like, it's insane.
It is absolutely nuts, but unfortunately, like I say, the deck to me was made to be the Crosshearts silver bullet. It auto loses to Blue Flare in my experience as well, unless you play it perfectly or they play poorly. So now that Crosshearts has been completely left to the wayside, Dark Nightmon has also fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in my opinion, as a man who has just bought 3 Dark Nightmon X antibody alt arts, the deck has no way to possibly come back either, because it doesn't seem to be getting any good support tools for the next 2 or 3 sets either.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because the actual Digimon itself is cool as fuck.
Very cool.
And, like, it's not played in the deck, but I do just love High Vision Monitamon. I think it's a fucking stupid Digimon, and it's super funny.
It's very stupid. Very stupid, very funny. Like, see, before Chikurimon came out, I was running a version of the deck which had all of the Monitamons maxed out, so you just spammed Monitamons. They've got a really shit version of the on-deletion Commandermon in there. Which I think it searches top two on deletion for a mod I'm on in a deck that only has 12. So yeah, that just shows you how much Bandai loves Dark Nightmon, that they printed a card as good as that.
Yeah.
But if we go up the post ban list in ascending order, we can see now something that people might not have expected. Cross Hearts has entered rogue deck status in the post ban world.
Interesting.
What do you say to that?
I don't think it's a rogue deck.
It is. Now, I have to say, the classification here is purely on a statistical standpoint. It's not actually taken into account the power level of the deck. It's more taken into account how many tops it's had at events after the ban list has been in effect. So you have to take into account the fact that, similar to what we saw with Alphamon, there was a dark ghost looming over Alphamon and nobody wanted to play it except at top level events. Crossheart has also been ditched by many people who were riding the tier 1, tier 0.5 hype train.
Yeah, so I think that it's not being played. I don't think that the deck has lost. It's lost Sunrise Buster. That card was never intended for Crossheart. It was intended for a funny, funky Rise Greymon, Shine Greymon deck, but Crossheart players went, oh, this is mine now, which caused it to get limited, obviously, and then Cross 4 being limited to 1. I still think the deck is strong. I know I was talking earlier on about how I've not rated it that much, but I still think it's a strong deck. I don't think competitive players are willing to take a risk on a deck that's been had not one but two cards banned in it to play it at a premier event, and if they do, the people that have played it have still seen a bit of success, which is why it's sitting in the rogue tier and it's not just dropped out of the standings completely. But because it loses a bunch of its power, people have went, no, there's better decks out there to play,
like
basically.
Like you say, mate, I think that's a good summary of it, to be honest. One issue you're having is that, like, because this was the boogeyman of BT10, every man, you know, there's so many different types of card game players out there, but a big one that I despise is, this is best deck, I'm going to play best deck. So now that they know it is not going to be best deck, every man and his dogs dropped it. Between the three of us, how many people do you know that played Crossheart because they liked the way the deck played or because they loved Cross Wars or Shoutmon or something like that?
I don't think I can name one person, to be honest.
I can name one person.
Yeah, I can name maybe one or two. So it's a bit different from most decks. Like, I think the wholesome reason to build a deck is I love the playstyle, I love the Digimon, or I love the colour. Or the anime the Digimon's from or something like that. If you're playing a deck purely based on its competitive viability, then I guess the word I would use would be a tryhard.
Yeah. It's called net decking. As far as I'm aware. Basically you
net decking is just when you nick a deck off the internet, right?
Yeah. But that's what people did pretty much. They went, oh, this deck's brilliant, let me copy a list and let me play the list.
Yeah, I think you found as well a lot of people, I think this might actually account for why you see such a big variance on Crossfart players and the strength of the decks they build, is because as well, if you're not net decking a very successful list, then it's actually quite easy to build a shit Crossfart deck.
Yeah.
If your ratios are bad, you're going to be bricking a lot, you're not going to get those powerful turns off. So if you're not net decking or playing it at the highest level, you might actually be running it down pretty hardcore.
The problem with net decking as well is that you will never win an event by net decking. You just straight up will not win a good event, because the people that win are the people that come up with the ideas and the people that come up with the engine, not the people that go, oh, I like that, let me copy that. Like, it's fair enough to take decks that Japan has been playing, because Japan are two formats ahead of us, basically. But pretty much whenever I build a deck, I look at Japanese lists and I go, huh, okay, I'm changing this because I don't think this is going to play as well. And it's why when I play Digimon, I see consistent levels of at least decent success, because I can do that. And it's the same with both of yourselves as well. You're both very good card game players, because you look at lists and then change them about. You don't just steal a list and go, this is exactly what I'm playing with no changes, because you just don't see the success that you think you will do.
Yeah, the best way to describe it, in my opinion, the way that I do it anyway, is I'll look at them as a basis. I'll play with that list a couple of times, find out what I want to tweak to it, because I don't think a deck from Japan is going to be a solved deck for the English, because we play completely differently. And you've seen that with the way that the meta has been. I use you could call it net decking to an extent, but I then go ahead and then go, after like a day of playing it, I'll sit down and go, right, now let me look at this. Let's see what cards I didn't use. Let's see if there's any cards that are better. And nine times out of ten, there's always better cards that you think that you could play. Which I think a lot of people need to get out the premise of, if I just net deck, I'll win.
Yeah, like it's definitely got a good place in card games, especially for maybe if you're not much of a deck building guru. But to me, that's one of the most fun parts of the game.
Yeah, I love building decks.
Sit down with your mate and just sit there and just pure like fire ideas back in each other.
Yes.
One of the greatest like things about card games, in my opinion.
And it's just people doing themselves a disservice, really, because they're losing out on that fun aspect. And like you said, Adam, if you're not, a lot of these, if you see like there's certain lists you see online that just get spammed, right? Like a good example was when Mother D Reaper was quite popular. There was literally one top in deck that played Mother D Reaper in America, and everyone was playing the exact same list because it was considered to be solved. But see, when you get some of these spicier decks that not everybody's playing, there's certain includes that people might not understand, and it's a really interesting conversation, to be fair, to ask if it's what is and isn't valid in net decking.
Yeah.
Because you could totally just take the deck and use it exactly the same. There's also certain people that look at a topping list and they go, what the hell? Why is he playing that? I'm taking out eight cards and putting in eight new cards. I'm like, well, at that point, mate, you've basically built a new deck. So a lot of everybody builds decks because the cards all have synergy with one another. So if you tweak too much, you end up just completely ruining the deck, and you may as well start from the ground up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A thing to note as well is that... Oh, sorry, on you go, Jason.
I was going to say, I don't think, personally, there is a solved deck out there for Digimon.
Not anymore.
Which is what I love. Like, you go and you look at any other card game, every deck will eventually become solved. And then that's the only list you'll be seeing people play, like, every single, and if it whenever it tops, it's the exact same list and everything. But for Digimon, it's just totally different.
Yeah.
Because everybody hadn't... When you're building a deck and you put in your wee spicy text, you know why you're putting the spicy text in, and you know how to play them. People then who come in, like, from the outside and look in, that can't, like, actually ask you questions about it, will then look at these spicy texts and go, oh, this must be for this, this must be for this. And just, can I just make something up in their head? And then that's what. And then if the deck doesn't work, they're like, oh, the deck's trash, blah, blah, blah. And then they never touch the deck again.
Exactly, man. So it's,
yeah, you need to know why you play the cards, not just play the cards.
This is what you need to do. Like, it does fit in exactly what you're saying there, Adam, and what you were saying earlier on, Jason. Net decking's a great place to start.
Yep.
If you don't know the archetype well, why don't you just net deck it? See how you like it, see how you play, see what's different, see what you don't like, and change it till it's a wee bit more specific to yourself. So if we look at the rest of the standings here on the list, we've just said they're bottom in Rogue Deck status, Crosshearts. Now take everything here with a wee bit of pinch of salt, guys, because there wasn't actually a ridiculous amount of post-ban list tournaments. So maybe if it was a really, really crazy format, because I don't know about you guys, did it feel like it disappeared like that?
Well, the reason for that is that we had the set for a month before EX3 came out. Maybe slightly over a month because of the EX3 delays in the UK, but that was honestly one of the quickest formats we've ever had. And I've got to be honest, I am not a fan of it. I am not a fan of a month-long format. Now, don't get me wrong, we have played in formats that have been 3 months long. I think that is a bit too long for no new cards to be introduced or anything like that. But a month, and in some places 3 weeks, not a fan of that. I'm really not a fan of that, Bandai.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan personally. it's put a kind of wee sour taste in my mouth because I'm like, I want to have time to build a deck, and then I want to try and figure out where it goes wrong and, you know, quote unquote, solve it in my head kind of thing. Whereas this format, I was not able to do that because I like the idea of every single deck. I mean, I spent over a week and a half trying to figure out my army.
Oh dear.
I was going mental about it, and then I looked and I was like, oh, when's like the next set coming out? I was like, oh, there's just really no point in this, man.
Nope.
And then I was like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I didn't particularly like
normally
it.
I like to play, yeah, like normally I like to play a deck for a couple of weeks to see if I like it or not, but it's really hard to do that when the fucking set just completely changes, a new set completely changes the meta.
Yeah.
This is the thing, man, like, the timing was so strange. Like, they could have literally not bought the ban list in till EX3 was coming out and gave us a couple more weeks of the format. Or, see, to be honest, considering that BT11 doesn't come out till bloody February, they could have shifted EX3 back
December,
to
early release December
it.
For
yeah.
Christmas. Yeah. I thought that's what their original plan was, because EX2 came out in May, but EX1 came out Christmas Day or something like that, just before Christmas last year. It was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus, it's so hard to think we've had so many formats since then, but like,
time flies.
But like, it just it doesn't feel good. And right, yeah, we've got the World Championships coming up in January, February, things like that, which I'm super looking forward to. The ban list was going to be implemented before then anyway. They could have given us a little bit more time. And I know we spoke about it last time, but I still feel really, really iffy about bringing out a set, watching players max it out, and then banning cards in a specific deck. And, we're talking about Crossheart here. But, like, there's pretty much half of the alts in EX10, BT10 was for Troutmon and stuff like that. So, like...
Well, let's talk weird. About it a wee bit. Let's go into a wee bit of a dive on our feelings on the ban lists that Bandai's put out, more specifically talking about the most recent one they've done. Like you're saying, Adam, it's a bit dubious to say that they're putting out this set that's so focused on one deck. I mean, there's multiple decks, obviously, but it is mainly Crossheart related. So much hype around this deck, and then to... I don't want to say the deck's dead because I don't believe it is. I think it's just underhyped at the minute. And then after people have bought the set, bought their alts, got really hyped to play it, they've completely changed the deck.
Yeah.
I guess the way that I look at it is the thing about the band obviously didn't have an alt, it had a pre-release, right? So in a sense, fair play. If people, after maxing the deck out, then want to get rid of it because of the ban and they don't want to go out their way and then try and figure out this deck, etc., then they weren't playing it for the right reasons. They were playing it to win tournaments.
Yeah.
That's
the way that I seen it. I could be completely wrong. Some people could just be like, oh, you've just nerfed my favourite deck. You know, that I don't want to play this deck because it's not the way that I wanted to play it. Fair play to those people, right? But I know a lot of people who picked up the deck that... actually, personally, see more people complaining about the hit for Cross 4 were people that hadn't maxed out the deck. See, the people that did max out the deck, they didn't care. They were like, oh, I'll just put this in then. You know?
Yeah.
It's a very good point, to be honest, mate. Like, we spoke about this earlier on. There's not many, like, Shoutmon Crossheart stands out there. Yeah. It is mainly people who are wanting to play what they think is going to be the best deck. And the other thing is, I mean, you could be like a rarity hoe, right? And just be like, oh, I need to max all my cards. But for me, at least, I don't want to max a deck unless I actually love it and I think it's going to be around for ages. You could make the argument, okay, Crossheart would have been around for ages and it still will be to a degree. But I think it's probably a bit of a daft decision to go, I need to max this. And then when you max it, and then because the deck is... If a deck's... positioned to be the best deck for a long time, then you should anticipate some sort of ban list affecting it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd agree that you should anticipate a ban list, but it would be nice to see what our meta spits out as opposed to basing it on another one. So I was going to make a point that now I don't know any Japanese players that play in the Japan format. I know Japanese players that have play in the English format because obviously they live over here, etc. But like, a lot of people were leaving the Japanese scene because Crossheart was dominating. Now, yeah. I don't know about you guys, but a deck is not enough to make me leave the game. However, what is enough to make me leave the game is when a set gets printed and a third of it has fucking erratas.
Yes. Yeah.
That is what makes me want to leave a game, not one specific deck, although Security Control was pushing it for a while.
Yeah.
I think for me, if I was in their shoes, I probably would have taken a break from the game because the joys of a card game is playing different decks and playing against different decks. See, if I kept going to a tournament and every single player was just playing Cross 4, and in Japan, they're hyper-competitive, they're in it to win it, so most of the time, from what I've seen. So I think a lot of players were going into it and playing the kind of their decks and then just getting absolutely creamed by Cross 4 for them, do you know what I mean? Which can be extremely infuriating when you're going up against the deck and you just physically can't do anything.
Yeah.
And it's a simple matchup, you're playing against that same deck. It's very boring.
Yeah. And Japan has 10 times the amount of events that we do because they've got such a high player base, because Digimon alongside Pokemon have been neck and neck for such a long time. Yeah, when Cross Wars came out, it wasn't too popular with the Western audience. But like, and again, I don't know too much, so I'm not going to like start diving into stereotypes or anything like that.
Yeah.
But like, they love their anime and stuff over there. Like, there's a whole part of Japanese culture that is, you know, based on that sort of thing. Absolutely. So when they have tournaments, we get a consistent 400 to 500 people at regionals because we get them once or twice a year. They have regionals maybe once a month, and they get thousands of players.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And like, obviously Bandai's gonna base their decisions on formats on, you know, the Japanese market, because they had it for a much longer time than we did.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're like, come on Bandai, give us a shot at least.
Yeah, I think what we got was a shot, to be honest, but I just think it's my main issue with it is the speed at which the metas have changed. So we've basically had two completely different metas here within the period of a month, and now we're moving into one that's completely, completely different. There's been at least 5 new competitive decks that have came out at EX3 that are going to be at least tier 1 through 3.
Yep.
So it's a bit crazy the speed at which it's moving. Also considering what we were talking about earlier on, where we've got Worlds in January. Maybe they're thinking we want to give them a long time to solve the format so that we can have the best of the best battle out at the end of the month. But I'm just thinking from a standpoint of, if I'm grinding it out here, playing in locals twice a week or whatever, then you're just going to get bored at your face, aren't you, by the time the end of the format comes around? And they could have spread it better. But I'll be honest in saying, I'm really happy with the hits on the ban list. I agree with all of them, to be quite honest with you. The only one I think is a little weird is Colin from Darkness.
Yeah.
Like I say, Colin from Darkness, or Purple in general, it's been a bit weak for a while, but I think the three of us can agree more than likely that Colin from Darkness is a ridiculous card, especially in Purple.
I don't know. Like I said, most purple decks are Minerva Loop and Lilith Loop and stuff like that are purely purple. They only play it at one anyway because Lilith gets their options back. So if anything, I think they needed to do their first full, well, not their first full ban because we have Mega Digimon Fusion banned, but I think they either needed to do it their first full ban or just leave it alone, because I don't think Calling from Darkness was the problem of the purple decks.
The timing on it's a bit weird, I'd say that, right? If you want to go ahead and ban every or nerf or limit every single ridiculous card in Digimon, you'd be here all day.
But
you need to be thinking about, is it oppressive in a current deck, or is it going to be oppressive in the near future? And the answer to that question is no.
Well, because it was
till the end of this meta, at least. We're not going to have a purple deck it's that oppressive because of Calling from Darkness.
When BT11 comes out and we get Mervamon and a bit more purple support, it might pick back up again then. But you'd limit Calling from Darkness, and all purple players are going to do is play Revive from Darkness instead, and then they'll play their five cost, delete their guy, spit out level five, which is always a Cerberus Mon, gain 9 memory, waste time for 10 minutes, and then still lose the game. Sorry.
You're totally belittling
this. Do you know why? I am gonna give a shout out to the Ginger Chris on Twitch and everything else. He's one of our local players. Chris is also a very good friend of ours. He has bullied me with Lilith Loop so many times and Minerva Loop that I just hate the deck on sight. So well done, Chris. Shout out to you, buddy.
Poor lad.
Aye, well done, Chris. You've literally turned him into the Joker.
This is my origin story. As soon as they start printing more Lilith Loop shenanigans, I'm going somewhere, mate.
The game is being dropped.
I'm moving off to Vice Schwartz.
Oh, last thing I want to say is about the ban list at least. So I have heard some absolutely crazy bloody opinions from this. I've heard people saying that Bandai should be giving out refunds to players because they have bought sealed product that is now apparently not worth what they bought it for.
Man.
I've heard this a surprising amount of times. People basically making the argument, I bought my box specifically for Crossheart stuff, and now I can't play Crossheart because it's not tier one, which I think is a bit ridiculous, to be honest.
Yeah, I know.
They should grow up here in the nicest way. This is just me I'll be 100% honest, and I'm gonna just be truthful here. The deck was worth 20 quid.
Yeah, exactly. Like, literally, you're buying four SRs.
Like, if you're buying a box, you're not going to be able to build the full deck from a box.
Like, I bought four cross fives a couple of days before the ban list. I was like, I'll play this deck, and they banned it, and I went, on to something else then.
Fives are now worth only 60% of what I bought them for. No, right. It's also a weird thing to say because the Bandai do not actually give values directly to cards. It's what the community decides they're worth.
Yeah.
So if you're out here like that, I'm trying to... Like, you don't buy a box of BT10 trying to make money. If you do, you're absolutely insane.
You don't buy a box of anything other than BT9 trying to make money.
Bro, you don't buy Digimon in order to make money. Digimon is one of the cheapest card games in the market. If you're wanting to make money by doing that, is you go to Yu-Gi-Oh, you go to Pokemon.
Exactly.
Have a collector's market. Digimon doesn't have that yet, thankfully.
Aye. But
like, the only card that's got value to it is Def Xmon because it's a staple in nearly every single deck.
And like, Def Xmon is the only card that we've seen hit the £100 mark since set one Omnimon, and that's because set one Omnimon, when it was only set one out, was literally the only deck you ever played. It was red Omnimon or it was blue Omnimon, but you always got into Omnimon, and then that was the end of the game because all you had was fucking vanillas that go all the way up the stack. Yellow was good because that was set technically two when Shine Greymon and stuff came out, and then that dominated the format because DP reduction without a counter has always been broken in the right hands. But like, Omnimon and BT1 Omnimon quickly went, this card's shit now, and it's 15 quid at most now, apart from like the special collector's editions. But Death X is such a good card. I think Death X should be limited to one because it is genuinely toxic for the meta at the moment, I think. Everyone plays Hydramon player spotted. No. Like, it was even the point where I was like, should I put a Death X-mon in Hydramon? I was like, maybe I should. But no, because, like, it is in every single deck. I genuinely think it should be limited to one, but Bandai will not do that because Death X-mon makes the money.
Yes.
For me, I'm on the fence on both sides. I see both parties. I always end up leaning to it's actually, I think it's very fair for the game right now.
I agree.
It might get to a stage later on, however, that it does need to, something needs to be done to it, because if it consistently stays a staple, in like a couple of sets down the line, then yeah, maybe Bandai at that point need to look at it and go, right, we need to try and get this so we can, because Bandai have came out many times before saying we want to make deck building the prime like focus of the game and make it so you have different kind of like deck builds that you can do, right? That was one of the reasons why like Cross 4 was essentially hit, was because it opened up being able to actually build a, you know, Shoutmon and all that stuff like into a deck that didn't revolve around one rare. But right now, I'm not sure.
No, I don't think it should be banned or limited just now, but I think if the meta continues to show it as a splashable card in literally every deck, I think something should be done about that.
Yeah. I'll quickly give you my take, right? Because literally, I feel like, and I might actually do this on my channel, but I feel like I could talk about this for 20, 30 minutes, because there's so many varying opinions from DeathX1 all the way from, this is cancer for the game, this is the most broken card of all time, to card shite, absolute copium. Basically, that my opinion is, you cannot afford to run it in every deck, because in certain matchups, it's a legit brick where it does nothing. It hard counters certain decks, and it checks things like how broken were Tamers and hybrid decks before this released, and it obviously counters your go wide setups as well.
It was like that was. I'm pretty sure the main reason it was made was because they made hybrid strong. I disagree to an extent about being splashable in every deck, because every deck does splash it. It's like it's not mandatory to play it, but majority of the decks at top are at least playing one of it.
I don't know, man. Like, see if you look at decks like, so let's just look at the meta decks we've got here. Melga never plays it. Grandis never plays it. Blue Flare, I don't know. Maybe you sometimes see it as a one-off. Alphamon never plays it.
Alphamon definitely plays it.
No, they don't, man. Guys are smoking.
They play at least one of it.
You guys are smoking. I will pay a 1,000 Digibucks bounty to the person
what is
who
this
can
currency?
Show me a deck that went top 16 with a DeathX Alphamon list.
Alphamon will never get that. What do you mean?
Maybe my problem is not with DeathX, because I do actually think it is a balanced card that with the threat of it definitely stops people from just going, nyeh, spam the board. But like, I think my problem is with the players that rely on it like a crutch to win their games. That just go, oh, I'm building Schmeckelmon, a card that does absolutely nothing to do with DeathXmon.
Yeah.
But I have to put a DeathXmon in there because I cannot possibly think of another counter in my brain of brains with Digimoncard.dev open to me. I have to put DeathXmon in this deck because I have to. That's what annoys me. People not thinking hard enough to make their own counters that are infinitely better.
It definitely depends, man. Like, as a meta-dependent card, the biggest issue for people is when it's strong, it is ridiculously strong, and when you play it in certain matchups, it's literally a dead card, unless people play it wrong. But it's also one of these cards that ends up being a bit of a skill check, and it's a deck building check as well these days, because if you're in a meta where DeathX1's rampant and played quite a lot, like we've just came out of, maybe you want to think twice about putting something in that is like a tamer that doesn't give you that much value, or you're playing a control deck with lots of tamers. Like, I think Maki's a good example. People run Maki because it helps them reduce the cost of their dual colors, but it's literally sitting as a DeathX reduction for the rest of the game there, and you have to ask yourself, is that worth it?
Yeah, and learn to play around it, basically. Like, I'm playing Bloom Hydra at the moment, and I'm really enjoying it. The way I get around DeathX is just evolve into my level 5s and 6s a little bit quicker than instead of flooding the board, because oh no, you de-digivolve my Lord Knight, oh god, I can't get that deck out of my head. You de-digivolve my Bloom Lord to a level 5, oh no, I've just evolved straight back into one again. Like, it doesn't do anything to me. Yeah, if I flood the board with level 4s like an idiot, but I know how to play around it, so it's fine. But then I I'm not naming names, but I know people that literally just go, he's a good player, I'm gonna put DeathX in this deck because it counters his deck, and I'm just going, it doesn't know, because I can play around it.
Those people are trolling their balls off, to be honest. But, yeah. Jason, you wrap us up here, mate.
I was literally just going to say all the card does is just strike fear in everyone's eyes, man.
Yes.
If you're not playing around a DFX mon, you're going to lose the game.
Exactly. Sometimes I do that, man. Like, I literally go, well, if he doesn't have Death X, I win. But if he does, I lose. Well, let's roll the dice, baby. Let's see what happens. And then he plays it, and I cry. It's a really interesting card. And like we say, we could talk about this for bloody ages. Yeah. Ages. So if we look at the rest of the standings after the ban list here, we'll quickly go through it because we are pushing on for time and we don't want to be one of these three-hour podcast guys. So if we go into the tier three list, again, this is based on percentage results and top 16s. So we're starting at 2%. This is tier three, 2% to 5% of top results. We've got Magnum on X, a deck that I think was very slept on, has kind of came out of nowhere. Then Mastermon, Security Control, Jessmon, which is a deck people were absolutely riding the hype train on and hasn't seemed to have done very much.
Nope.
Deck's fine, bro. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's very good, man, but it's nowhere near.
It's one of those hit or miss. One of those hit or miss decks. I played it. I played it when it first came out and was beaten into a pulp that I nearly considered quitting the game. I was that raging at it. And like, I don't think Jessmon is as good because the thing that gets in the way of Jessmon being good are the sister mons that it has to play, and like, you either play enough and that you clog your deck up, or you play a little too little and you don't see them when you need them, etc., etc.
Now, maybe I'm just a god, right?
Maybe,
god gamer, perhaps.
I actually think Jessmon is a lot better than what people are making it out to be. Like, I think the decks definitely should be higher than three. Was, did you say
three, mate? So it's about middle of tier three. This is, again, this isn't like a power ranking or like someone's letting an opinion on this is just simply based on the statistical numbers of the tops the deck has had.
Yeah, personally, I just think it's not represented enough. But the deck, if I was to go into a tournament, I would pick Jessmon over Blue. And that just tells you a lot. I genuinely think Jessmon is super strong if played correctly.
It's nuts. I think the skill check on Jessmon is remembering what all the bloody system ones do, to be honest with you. Because anytime somebody plays one, they're like, I play Sistermon Cyan. I'm like, oh, what the hell does Cyan do? Is that the one that does this effect? They're like, no, bro, that's the one that was from BT6. This is the new one that actually lets me warp Digivolve for zero and draw five cards, and all my guys have got decoy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, okay, no problem, mate, you crack on. So it's literally just hard to remember what they all do. It's a crazy deck. It feels very overtuned.
Jessmon players' worst enemies are themselves, genuinely. They forget what their effects do half the time. Or at least some of the players that I've played, not all of them. But like, they're playing so many things that it's so hard to keep track of all of them. They either miss their effects or like just do the timing wrong.
Yeah.
So I think it deserves its tier three spot. Rest in peace, Ragnar Lordmon. You were never destined for greatness as a starter deck, you are fun.
So true.
Love him. Love him.
Sound. So going through the rest of the results here, we're going into the top half of tier three. Wargreymon X, which topped, as we said earlier on, in EX3 recently, came out of nowhere. Didn't actually know people were trying it in BT10, though, so that's pretty interesting, considering it's done feck all since its release. It's finally getting a spotlight.
Yeah.
We've got bloody Imperial Jamon, that's actually been sticking around. I think this is probably the cockroach of Digimon will never be destroyed. The new things coming out in BT12, it looks like it's going to be sticking around longer than we ever thought.
Yeah.
Later on, we've got Alphamon. Obviously, this is taking into account the ban list, so it's probably not seen so much representation afterwards. It's been really difficult to see more people playing it. And then at the top of Tier 3, we've actually got Yellow Hybrid making a gallant return into the meta, thanks to the likes of Venusmon. which is a pretty ridiculous card that I still don't understand.
Yeah.
It's very strong.
I've not played against it yet, or at least I've not played against a yellow hybrid player that's gotten one out, so I can't comment on it, but I have no doubt that it's annoying.
I have, and it's so fucking annoying, bro. Like, you have to... See, if your deck does not have a way to out it, you'd be as well just scooping up and leaving because you can't get around it. The only way you can... most decks now have to have a kind of... That's why you're seeing a lot of the bombs. That's why you've probably seen with Wargreymon winning with the Gaia Forces and stuff.
Yeah.
It just gets rid of the problem cards, and that's what's needed at this with this meta.
It's also Death Exmon, I think, because like I had this recent issue with the new D Brigade list I was making. It's like, well, I really like Ultimate Flare. When Ultimate Flare's better than Iron Fist, it's much better than Iron Fist. But then there's so many situations where literally just you need something that can blow up a big guy, and Ultimate Flare doesn't do that. So you need to run your Fist or your Gaia Forces or your Chaos Degrades, whatever. So it's a really annoying card, and that combined with Death X means that's probably why we're seeing a lot more of your bombs, like you said, Jason.
Yeah, agreed. Going into it, what kind of decks do you think that are slept on going into from EX3 and stuff?
For me, man, this is one that I've been telling people about, and people have been very surprised.
You're about to say Pulsemon, right?
No. So Pulsemon was slept on as hell, but I've kind of unfortunately abandoned the deck simply because D Brigade is back, baby, let's go.
Yeah.
And the deck I would bring to the talking point, and let us know in the comments down below, guys, what you think your most slept on deck of EX3 is going to be.
Like,
comment, and subscribe, guys, as well, okay? Because we're a small channel and we need your support. But for me, it's actually going to be Gallantmon. Now, people have... I'm one of these guys who watches the Japanese meta. I'm not going through it with a fine-tooth comb, right? But I do look at meta results. And you've been seeing Gilmon, Gallantmon decks poking their head in every so often. And it's basically because... it's meta-dependently strong. We're going into a meta now where people are beginning to play wee guys on the board. They're beginning to swarm the board again. So finally, this deck has got some ridiculous targets for its deletion effects.
Yep.
Things like the Wargreymon X antibody are just ridiculously powerful. Being able to pop such a big board and gain memory off it, sometimes gaining, you know, 3 memory for deleting the board. For 0 memory with a Wargreymon is absolutely nuts. The deck's got some good new support pieces, like the new Wargreymon that lets you play a Tecatl out for free. Really helps turbo the deck. And also, it's got some pretty nutty ODK potential with the Crimson Mode and the X-Antibody card. People are running a couple of the X-Antibody option card so that they can swing, go into the X-Antibody, and then evolve into the Crimson Mode in the same turn, because by deleting things you're gaining back memory so you can keep the turn. I actually had something like 2 or 3 security trashed in one turn against a Gallantmon, and then they proceeded to swing for lethal and I cried my eyes out. So if you guys like Gilmon, consider checking the deck out again, because it's worth revisiting. There was actually somebody who got top 8 in an American tournament recently, one of the first EX3 tournaments. Yeah. And it's finally at a point again where I'm confident to say, if you like Gilmon, if you like the deck's playstyle, and you like the colour red, it's worth looking into again.
What about you, Adam? What deck do you think slept on?
I don't know. Like, I really want the new Imperial Dramon to be good. Now, I have not played the old Imperial, the blue-green Imperial, to a massive extent, just because it's not... I've never been a big fan of blue decks. They don't really appeal to sort of my playstyle. But I really like red-purple Imperial Dramon, and I think it's got such good potential, but I just don't think it's going to be played, because I think every single person has went, yeah, old Imperial's still better, and I fully think old Imperial is still a better deck, but being able to go from 2 level 3s up into a level 6 on the same turn without passing over too much memory, I think is crazy good. And I really hope it gets more support in the future. I hope it's not just a one and done sort of deck. Yeah. I'd really like to see a little bit more support in it, and I think it could be a genuinely competitively viable red purple deck.
Yeah. It's another one of these decks in it where sometimes it feels a bit jank, but if it gets its combo off, you're sitting there going, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Now, it's not going to. I think it's feasible if you can get a scatter mode out quickly. And ditch a bunch of your pieces, because obviously it DNAs from trash pretty much with all of its effects. If you can get a scatter mode out and bin your pieces quickly, I think you're getting that level 6 out for practically nothing, which is crazy. But again, I think it's got a couple of issues here and there. But I want, like, once it sets off, it's great. Like, I can't wait to actually play the deck. It's just really hard to get hold of the secret rare fighter modes. Yeah. I've only got one, and I need at least three for the deck to function properly, I think.
Mate,
but I really
wait
want
till
to play
it does nothing in the meta, and the card will be £15.
Yeah. 15 pence, more like.
15p for a secret. Shake my hand.
Yeah. What about you?
I think this will go, to no one's surprise, Hexablau Azulongmon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It is back, and I cannot. I love it because, as Cobb was saying earlier on, like, you've got things like D Brigade that's now started coming back and stuff, and just having a Hexablau on the board while your opponent has a bunch of things with no sources is fantastic, and it forces your opponent to get rid of the Hexablau while giving you sometimes stupid amounts of memory.
Yeah.
And just because, as I've said times before, just going into the fact that all the new EX3 stuff, would you call it, with the new kind of like Paleodemon or whatever it's called, being able to, like, just as the Chimeramon, get like a stack and then turn things. I think in one game I ended up turning someone whenever he digivolved. It was like an extra 5 memory he had to pay, which is nuts.
Mate, he evolves and passes turn to you on 9. Like, yeah. What?
Like, and then on that turn when I swing with Hexablau, I just trash the sources again.
Yeah.
So it's just a super oppressive deck that I think's just being slept on.
It's literally nobody's talking about it either, man. Like, I knew you would talk about it because you loved it back in the day. But between, like, you and my mate who I told about it, I have not even seen somebody reference Hexablaumon support. You know, people don't even seem to have realised that this is a new Hexablaumon line. So it's cool that it's something that they've snuck in that may be more powerful than people immediately thought.
Yeah, I used to hate it back in the day, apart from the fact everyone went, I love Eosmon decks, and Hexablaumon went, no. And then everyone stopped playing Eosmon, and then Hexablaumon died out. But I'm glad to see it back. I think it does have a place in the meta now that there's actual counters to it.
Yeah, so Sora is just an absolutely ridiculous card. We've got another bloody Floodgate and another way to thrash pretty much every source you've got under Sunday. Sora plus a Sora and Joe is going to clear every single stack in the game, pretty much.
100%.
Yeah.
Thanks, looking pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I believe we want to go into a segment. Are we kind of like talking about the comments that we got?
So
we just grab a comment each, work our way down the list.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks very much to, like, everyone that listened to the first episode. Obviously, a bunch of our friends have listened to it, but, like, we've seen from the analytics, we're seeing people in the States, people in Australia, people in South Africa, across Europe. Like, it's not big numbers, obviously, but I just want to say thank you to everyone that's listened, and hopefully you've come back, and, like, we really appreciate you. This is a small podcast, obviously, like, there's not a lot of us, and we, at the moment, obviously, you've seen how podcasts can take off and get thousands of viewers. I don't think that's going to be the case because it's Digimon, no. So I'm hoping we can garner quite a dedicated community for it, but, like, interact with us, guys. We'll be replying, we'll feature your comments, stuff like that. Like, let us know what you think. Talk to us. We're happy to interact with you. Don't just if you just want to listen and then move on with your day, that's totally fine. Thank you very much for listening. But if you want to like talk to us, bring it on. We're here to listen and talk to you back.
100%. It's really cool. Like Adam says, because we are a smaller channel, it's very easy for us to see one sub and be like, let's go, we got one sub, baby. Yeah. Or like, you see one comment that's like a genuine message and you're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
So, thanks very much to Specs for commenting. It meant a lot, especially this is, his comment was exactly what we wanted to do, because there isn't a lot of podcasts for Digimon, and we wanted to kind of just get into that essential market. But he said, as a new player coming over from Magic the Gathering, welcome, brother. Content like this is great. I love listening to longer discussions and getting to hear more opinions. I'm surprised at how few Digimon TCG podcasts exist. Great first episode. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, so thanks, Specs.
That meant a lot to us.
Thank you.
Like just that, just especially with the first episode, that was a lot. So thank you very much, my man.
Yep. We've got Jamie Gardner saying, good episode, guys. Keep up. Jamie, thank you very much for listening. Jamie is a local Scottish player, so it's really good to see people that we know is listening to it as well, and actually like giving us genuinely good feedback as well, and that we're not creating something that the people we play with hate. So that's super cool.
That's great, yeah. Cheers, mate. So the next comment we've got is from Cheng Alan Zien, who says, great first episode, but I don't know if it's just me, but sometimes there's this static that happens for a few seconds, followed by a garbled mic. So unfortunately, Cheng, that was myself. I do a lot of travelling for my job, so I can't always take my recording equipment with me. And the last, and unfortunately first episode of the podcast, was recorded through my mobile phone.
Yes.
So I don't know what was happening there. We didn't actually, nobody could hear it on the Discord then. It was only in the recording side of things. So rest assured, I will be bringing my damn microphone with me everywhere we go, and we shouldn't have this issue anymore.
I'm decent at audio editing, but I unfortunately could not fix that. Hopefully it won't be an issue going forward. Now, you guys, I'll let you in on a little sneaky. My connection's been shit for the past couple of minutes, and we've had to restart this discussion twice. Now, you won't hear this because I've edited it out, but I'm telling on myself right now that my fucking Wi-Fi is garbage.
Very small, so, independent podcast here. You get all the bloody warts and all.
Thank you for bearing with us while we figure technical issues out. Hopefully we get it to a stable place relatively quickly.
Yeah, hopefully. Going into another one was by Digital Hazard. Hello. Tartan Eevee sent me, great start, lads. Thank you very much. I don't know who Tartan Eevee is. Does anyone?
I know Tartan Eevee.
Big shout out to Tartan Eevee. She's a local Scottish Pokemon Twitch streamer. She's live pretty much all the time with Pokemon Scarlet and Violet right now, so go check her out on Twitch. She's a very nice lass.
Shout out to Digital Hazard for the based name and profile picture, which includes the Digital Hazard logo featured on Gilmon with the original Digimon VPET logo in the middle of that.
Best Digimon thing.
Best series, best series, 100%. One of the best boys.
It's terrible, but we won't touch on that. That's another episode. We can. This is the glory of the Digimon podcast, man. We can talk about all this.
We'll talk about this in more detail later, right? But Adam legit went to me the other day. You like Tamers? Like, nobody likes Tamers. Like, that's not many people like that one, mate. Tamers is legitimately the most
quickly
loved season of Digimon.
Found out I was horrendously wrong. Now I still don't like Tamers that much. I was going into my fucking angsty phase or whatever when that came out, and I was like, this isn't the original Digidestined. I don't like this. And then I started watching fucking something, Shrek, no doubt, or something like that.
edgy teenager out here watching bloody Shrek the Third. Like, Tamers is so ass, bro. I love Merlin and Shrek the Third.
Shut up. I don't have a comeback, just shut up. Maybe I'll give it another go so I can watch. I'm not going to watch it, but like at least it's better than Cross Wars, probably.
Most definitely.
And finally, on the comments front, we've got Average Man. Hello, Average Man. We are also Average Men. Who says, I feel like Memory Tamers can be crucial with decks like Diaboromon, since all Digivolutions are a 2-3 cost, you get 2 per turn.
Yep.
But other methods of gaining memory aren't as viable, especially with Death Xmon. Hit it in security, fine, but if it plays through an effect, fine. Most of the time it feels unnecessary and all like a risk. So basically the whole, do I really need to play this Tamer? Do I not need to play this Tamer? Am I feeding Death Xmon sort of thing? So, like, yeah, I think we acknowledged that earlier on as well, that unless your Tamer is absolutely like, you have to play it or you will lose the game, maybe hold off and see if they run Death X or not. Spoiler alert!
Average Man.
Everyone runs Death X.
No, they don't, man. It's not every deck. It's legit probably less than 50% of decks in the meta, isn't it?
Yeah, but when we see the same 16 people every locals, it's most of them.
When you see me, baby, oh, let's go.
I don't play against you in locals, to be fair. I'm never paired against you.
You don't, unless it's top table and it's for all the marbles.
Yeah.
But this comment's probably in reference to something I said in the last set, where I was saying how I don't like running cards like Izzy and D-Brigade, because you don't need the 3 memory. And like I say, it just feeds Death X. And also, the tempo loss you get from playing certain tamers is very high. So losing that tempo and also feeding the Death X machine can be pretty disastrous. But you're totally right in that if your deck needs the 2-3 memory every turn guaranteed, then it is more than fair to be running a memory tamer, I'd be saying.
Yep.
Well, that's great. Well, unless anybody else has any further comments, that has been the second episode of Win Rate 0%.
No, I'm quite happy with that. What about you guys? How are you feeling about it?
More than happy. Yeah. Again, we could talk for Scotland between the three of us. Probably one of us could talk for Scotland each. But we'll wrap it up there, guys, and we'll keep you wanting more. Hopefully you come back for episode 3 in a couple of weeks' time.
So give us a wee subscribe on Scott's TCG. Go check out Cobb's channel as well. What's it at? Is it at Cobb Cards on YouTube?
If you search up Cobb Digimon TCG on YouTube, you're bound to find me.
Sounds good. And for this podcast, guys, we're on every single podcast app there is now. We're on Apple, Google, Amazon, and some of the smaller ones as well. So go check us out on there. And who knows, in the future we might get around to like recording like video podcasts as well. But for now, we're pretty happy with what we're doing. But yeah, I'm super happy with it.
Yep. Thank you very much, guys, for listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed. Again, let us know on the question. What was the question? It was, what's the most slept on deck?
Forgotten
on
it already.
I know. For you,
the recovery. I'm
going to comment Hexablow because they understand. Deck profile coming soon, just kidding.
Do it, Jason. The people would love to see it.
Oh, they probably would. I don't want to, I'm not showing it until I win.
No, that's what I'm like as well, mate. I do not want to put up a deck list unless I am confident that it is a pog to the champ.
Meanwhile, I'm just throwing out lists that I've not even tested yet. Oh, well, just leave me alone.
Shout out to Examon list with 4 rookies. We'll leave it on that.
It was 8 rookies, leave me be.
8 rookies, yeah. 8 rookies and Examon pog.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, we have been Win Rate 0%. Thank you very much for giving us your very valuable listening time, and we hope to see you in the future. Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye.